Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our Father, achieve in us today thy perfect intention. Give unto us the increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain that which thou dost promise, make us to love which thou dost command. Let us stand today for whatever is pure and true and just and good, for the advancement of science and education and true learning, for the redemption of daily business from the blight of self-seeking, for the rights of the weak and the oppressed, for the conservation of the rich traditions of the past, for the recognition of new workings of thy spirit in the minds of men in our own time, for the hope of yet more glorious days to come. O our Father, achieve in us today thy perfect intention. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us read. The purpose of these chapel services is to provide this community in Christ the means for corporate worship. Since to be a Christian means, in part at least, to be finding and articulating the mind of God as revealed in Christ, it is necessary for Christians to band together in worship at stated times. One can find the mind of Christ by opening himself to Christ, and in Christ we find that we live solely out of the grace of God. Therefore, nothing can ever serve as substitute for that grace, neither program nor plan, neither creed nor act. But worship enables one to discover that he lives solely in God's grace. Apart from worship, one lives in disgrace. This community lives out of the grace of God and is charged with the responsibility of becoming in that grace a dynamic community of Christian scholarship. But to do anything in a Christian way or as a Christian is to act or be under the control of the worship of God. Since our Father has made us so that we cannot be absolutely concentrated with every faculty of the person upon two objects or subjects at once, there must be periods of intense scholarly endeavor and periods of concentrated worship. We cannot be utterly focused in study and at the same time be utterly focused in adoration of God. Yet as Christians, we must never think that we can study apart from God and worship. Worship must precede and prepare for study, and study must resolve itself in worship. What is worship? Worship is the presentation of one's life to God. That is the adoration of God in encounter. As William Temple has so eloquently phrased it, what worship means is the submission of the whole being to the object of worship. It is the opening of the heart to receive the love of God. It is the subjection of conscience to be directed by him. It is the submission of desire to be controlled by him. And as a result of all these together, it is the surrender of will to be used by him. It is the total giving of self. But it is evident, he continues, that if this is what worship means, only the perfection alike of reality and goodness can claim it. And to offer worship in the true sense of worship to anything other than the true God must be at the least the most disastrous, if it is not, as it probably is, the most wicked of all possible human activities. Perhaps it is only in worship, true worship, that we ever really lose our self-concern. But in worship, true worship, we fix our gaze on God and in adoration deny ourselves. And strangely enough, by such denial, we actually find ourselves. If what I have been saying is at all true, worship is a duty. In becoming a Christian, one submits himself to the discipline of worship. That is the deliberate and repeated turning of oneself to God. We in adoration find that we live out of God's grace, but if we do not adore God, we begin to assume that we live out of our own powers and resources, failing to trace those very powers and resources to their proper source. Worship is proper worship when we submit our whole lives to God. How shall this be achieved? There are many and various ways of doing this in either private or public worship. In public worship, which shall be made in this building 4 times per week, there are, however, special needs. One or more of our number, as well as guests, will be called upon to lead us in the worship of God. He or they must employ the means at hand to lead us to focus our hearts, minds, and souls on Him whose we are. He or they will not seek to provide for us entertainment, which is self-centered interest. Proper will be any of the church's techniques which lead us to drop our self-concern and center our attention on our Father. It is in the light of this understanding of worship that the order of worship usually followed here was conceived. This order is not claimed to be the only order, but it does aim to provide the structure in which for 30 minutes we lift our hearts and heads to the hill from whence comes our help. We therefore shall find ourselves participating in articulate prayers which seek neither to inform God nor to coerce Him into action, but seek to thank Him, to petition Him, to enable us to surrender our wills and minds to Him. We shall with creative musicians sing hymns and engage in anthems of praise and adoration. God's will is most commonly disclosed in His written word, so we shall read it together or participate in its truth by having it read to us. And in addition, we shall mount up on another's word, free and spirit-driven, to the presence of God. Worship is a discipline, a duty, but it's the gladdest of all disciplines, duties. You will observe that the following order is usually followed here. At 9:50, the prelude begins. And we find our way here. I hope we come in prayerfully. And I hope that each of us will pause as he enters to pray without feeling any embarrassment or shame. At 10 o'clock, the prelude will end, and there will be a spoken word by the leader of the worship calling us to worship. This will be followed by a brief period of silent meditation so that we can lock into our minds the thought provided in the call to worship. Then the leader will call our attention to the singing of a hymn, which will be posted on the hymn boards and will not be announced. And when the choir enters, we will rise to join them in praise of our Father. Following the hymn, there may be prayer, special music, the reading of Scripture, responsive readings, whatever the leader at the moment wishes to do. And for about 15 minutes, whoever is in charge will speak a word to us. And I can hope, and you can hope and pray that these words shall be, as I sought to describe them, free and spirit-driven, so that we can mount to our Father's mind. Then there will be a benediction with us seated. And after the benediction, there will be a moment or two, perhaps 10 to 30 seconds, in which again we can lock our minds on what has happened to us. The choir will dismiss us with an amen or some other response to the prayer. The prelude, the postlude, will follow at 10:30. All who will are invited to stay for the postlude and listen as notes thrill us in worship still. The peace of the rolling waves to you, the peace of the warm earth to you, the peace of the moving air to you, the peace of the shining stars to you, the deep peace of the man of peace, Jesus of Nazareth, to you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.